Do you want to experience wellness at a whole new level? Make your health and wellness a priority and be your best you. Check out TotalWellFit.com for top quality nutritional and wellness products. For example, our collagen creamer is made with stevia and helps with elasticity in the skin, hair, and nails while providing structure for tendons and joints. And it's delicious. TotalWellFit.com. It's a lifestyle thing.
Now, the Jen Charlton Show on 930 WFMD and WFMD.com. Telling it like it is with your host, Jen Charlton.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome. It's great to be here with you. And I am really excited about my guest today because I just adore him. And, you know, when you're looking at leadership in these times, and it calls on everything God gave you to get through this. Yesterday, I spoke with two different medical providers, and, you know, I was there on appointments, and I'm talking with these folks, and they're like, yeah, you know, this is what I'm dealing with. This is what I'm dealing with. Everybody's under fire right now. And whether you believe in this or not, I'm going to say it, the devil is after us. I mean, he's been nipping at my heels this week. So it's going to take everything we've got to take a breath, deep breath, calm, cool leadership right now. We have just a few months to save our nation. And I'm not being, you know, flamboyant when I say this. When you look at the food supply, the water supply, attacks from within, invasions. This isn't a migration or immigration crisis. It's an invasion. We're under attack. The enemy is within. And our administration, in air quotes, in D.C., has allowed this. They've perpetuated it. They've instigated it. And as far as I'm concerned, and let the brown coats come, I'm not afraid. These are high crimes against humanity. This is our humanity, our society, our sovereignty, which is at risk. And whether it's, you know, we're going to talk today about East Palestine, but whether it's an incident like a railway accident, okay, and I've done so much research this morning, I can't possibly give it all to you, but there's a few things to understand. We have had environmental issues and attacks that, in my opinion, and from people on the ground I've spoken to in Ohio and Pennsylvania, has been woefully underfunded and under-resolved. In other words, they haven't taken care of these people. Where's the EPA? You know, we talk about these government agencies with all their power. But when the rubber meets the road, or the rail meets the railway, where are they to take care of the environment and the people affected by it in East Palestine and that region? Because it's not contained in a jurisdictional border. You know, environmental issues and toxicity don't care where the state line ends. So the EPA, the FDA, because this affects our food supply, our water supply, where are they with all their power and authority now when we need them and when the people need them? I know when East Palestine happened, it affected my breathing in Frederick. It affected a friend of mine who has COPD. So we know it didn't just stay in East Palestine. So I want to bring on my guest today, and I just want to introduce him as just an amazing leader. Senator Mastriano ran for governor in 2022 in the great state of Pennsylvania. He should have won. as evidenced by the way this has been handled in Pennsylvania and in that region. Doug Mastriano is serving in the as senator in Pennsylvania's 33rd district, and he was a colonel in the Army and is a veteran, and so just has a love for Army and military. So I can't wait to ask him about the infiltration and the encampments and the 24,000 Chinese who have come through the southern border and the Darien Gap. So let's bring on Doug. Good morning, Senator Mastriano. It's great to have you back with me here.
Thank you, Jennifer. I appreciate it. It's going to be a great show.
Yeah, always is talking with you. I wanted to start with just getting an update from you on East Palestine region, because I think that we have had a very poor handling of this by the Fed. And I can't believe they haven't deemed it a national disaster area with all of the support that comes with. So could you give the listeners an update, please?
Well, over a year ago, of course, we had a derailment on the Pennsylvania border in Ohio, in specifically East Palestine, just a few hundred meters from downtown East Palestine. And there were eight cars of contaminated materials that fell off the tracks that were derailed. And the claim, under oath, from the CEO of Norfolk Southern, I subpoenaed him, Alan Shaw, last year before my committee, as he told us that several of those containing those cars containing toxic chemicals were on the verge of exploding. They were so hot with the fire that ensued. And so they decided, Norfolk Southern, at their joint command post, where you can never really tell us who was part of that joint command post or joint command center, apparently they informed the governors of Ohio and Pennsylvania that they're going to do a vent and burn. They controlled it. They called it a controlled burn, but there was nothing controlled about that. I mean, you cannot control a plume. You cannot control the wind. So it's just this talking point from Madison Avenue is just BS. So they burned several of the cars containing toxic chemicals. And poison the environment. And so then, but come to find out, Jen, a week and a half ago, the NTSB, who's responsible for investigating this whole situation, they testified before the U.S. Senate. I have the audio. I have the video that, in fact, those cars containing the poisonous chemicals and toxins were actually cooling down, and they just needed more time. So what I told Alan Shaw, I did not believe him. When he said that they had to do it, there was going to be an explosion. It was going to be catastrophic to the neighborhood and town, you know, and it was going to be horrific. I told him I didn't buy that, and that I believe this was a business's decision to get the trains running on time, so or get the trains running again, because if they would allow the cars that were derailed to cool off, that would take a few days, and then they would have the long process of emptying the toxins out of the cars. That would take a while. So you're looking at a few weeks. So instead, they set it on fire and did the vent and burn and had the trains running again within just a few days.
So let's back up for a second so people understand your oversight in this. Are you still the head of the Emergency Preparedness Task Force in Pennsylvania?
Yes.
Okay, so your oversight, coinkydinkily, fell under or over this incident when it occurred. So, correct?
Yes.
What was the response?
So we have Governor Shapiro, and the response was disengagement and not care. So, okay, let me back that up, because, he was my opponent during the gubernatorial. I had hoped that he'd declare a statewide emergency, mobilize our assets, get the feds to declare likewise an emergency, and release the funds that are available, and take care of the people. For me, this is not political, and it never has been. They have made it political. So instead of paying attention to this catastrophe, Jen, you cannot make this stuff up. My governor flew out to California, went to the Grammys, posted a picture of him hanging out with Jackie Robinson. They're both smiling, big cheesy smiles. And then he jet set it down to the Super Bowl in the aftermath of this tragedy. And he's, shucking it up with Katie Hobbs, the governor of Arizona, and watching, the Super Bowl, because, Pennsylvania team was there. And his life went on. Then he went to this big fundraiser, and the fundraiser is fine, but, you know, not in the midst of a catastrophe. And, you know, he's there laughing, getting selfies. You know, his staff are, you know, excited about the movie Barbie coming out and putting pictures on that he's Pennsylvania's Ken. Meanwhile, people in Western Pennsylvania, they have this plume, their health is shot, their jobs are gone, their animals are dying, their property's not safe, their wells are poisoned. I was out there, I got sick just by being out there for a few hours, and our governor is just having a great time. So when Biden finally showed up a year after, a couple weeks ago, 1 year later, so, you know, I was asked on one of the conservative news stations, why'd he go? I said, it's an election year. There's no other reason. So, Jen, I had hoped that Joe Biden going out there, that they would try to make this right. I knew he wouldn't, but I hoped that he would say, you know what, this is going to be a national emergency, and I'm mobilizing all of our resources now to help these people and get them out.
Yeah, in other words, his visiting there would present to him the horrors firsthand of what these people are enduring, yeah. And his heart would kick in, and he would finally care about these people. I got it.
Yes. Yeah. And instead, they whisked him in, you know, without any contact with people. They whisked him in to get a briefing. He had a little press conference with the mayor in East Palestine, who's been very critical of Biden. I was disappointed that you know, he lacked the fortitude to say what needed to be said on behalf of the people that elected him. And basically, Biden came out and said, we did great here. We came, we saw, we're leaving kind of thing. You know, this is great response from the federal and state government. We love what we did. See you guys. And they politicized this.
So, you know, it's just stunning that, you know, here's what really amazes me. Like you said, we're in an election year. That, first of all, Pennsylvanians are this close. You're within 2%. Trump is winning a couple points. Why isn't it a slaughter given what occurred? I mean, why on earth is it even close? What is it going to take for Democrats to get that their leadership does not care about them? What's it going to take? You know, so when you look at, and I want to say this and I'll let you comment, your heart shows where it is based on where your feet are. Your feet tell everything about where your heart is on a matter. And if you're flying all over the country, your heart is not with your people. So, first of all, I don't know why that governor hasn't, you know, there haven't been proceedings to remove him from office. That's disgusting. But, you know, go ahead.
Well, I think there's two different things we have going on, Jen. You know, first off, the media, if that was Governor Mastriano and we had a catastrophe in Western Pennsylvania that was poisoning people, and I was jet-setting off to Hollywood and to, you know, Phoenix and having a great time laughing, and they would crucify me in the media.
Correct.
Number one, that, you know, the Inquirer and all these other rags around the state here, they play cover. That they cover for the state house, which is a complete disaster. The Democrats are running it. They haven't been in session since before Christmas. They haven't done anything. It's a full-time General Assembly. And because they may lose control of the house if they come back in the session, they just take, you know, 4 or 5 months off, and the media is no problem with that. I've seen Republicans, you know.
Wait, hold on. Let's not walk past that. What about the people? How do the people feel that they're not doing the work?
Those paying attention are outraged, but there's not a lot of people that are informed. So we have a, you know, uninformed public because the media is covering for their party. They love the Democrat Party. They hate the Republican Party. You know, we saw this double standard with me where, if I happen to get a donation from some guy that I barely know that has associations with some, you know, dubious group or whatever, you know, I'm guilty by association. But literally, Barack Obama can be best friends, co-teach, host at his house a convicted domestic terrorist, and it's no problem. You know, so, you know, clearly if you're a conservative, politics is not for the faint-hearted because it is disgusting, a double standard. Number two, our own side can't get our crap together. The Republicans, we're too busy stabbing each other in the back, too busy undercutting, too busy, you know, destroying each other in primaries. So we don't have unity. We need unity of effort. We don't have to agree. You know, if for the people on our side here, stop looking for that perfect Republican. The only perfect Republican you're going to find is the guy or gal you're looking at in the window in your own mind. I'm gonna do votes you don't like. I have my own opinion. But if we're in alignment 80% of the time, as Ronald Reagan said, it doesn't make me 20% enemy. I mean, so let's get over this. You know, we should expect, we have a lot of rhinos, we have a lot of weaklings on our ranks. Yes, go after them. But, you know, Jen, this is a bit of a rabbit trail, but bear with me if this makes my point.
Go ahead.
Property taxes in Pennsylvania are insane. We're losing 10,000 homes a year, mostly elderly people. It's immoral. It's disgusting. We had a group well organized. It was Senate Bill 76. We had a rally in 2020 right before the shutdown in COVID, and all the leaders did of the 76, the elimination of property tax, is attack the 7 or 8 of us that were present, that were helping them, that were speaking on their behalf, that were fighting for them. And after that rally was over, the leader in the House walked over to the champion of ending property taxes, because they're maligning us, attacking us. You guys are worthless. I mean, and the guy went over, the House rep went over and said, this bill is dead. You're going to stab your allies in the back. We're done with you. And it's dead. And this is the problem with Republicans. And another thing, we get these grassroots groups that take off and grow. And I've warned several of these people during the shutdown that create different, you know, organizations that are effective. They're drawing tens of thousands of people. And, you know, sin slips in. They start thinking that they're all that. They I'm an influencer now. And they become corrupt. I mean, so let's stay up. If you want to have a free country, if you want to have a country where your kids can grow up free and your grandkids can have the same freedoms that we had, we have to stop being selfish. We have to, you know, be realistic. We have to work to build coalitions. And because of this, our ineptitude on building alliances and coalitions, I'm not saying compromise your values. I'm talking about just normal way you do business, how you would work in church or work at your business. Because of this, people in Western Pennsylvania, Eastern Ohio are suffering because the media is covering for Democrats and Republicans. We're running in all different directions.
Wow. I mean, I could have you all day just going through all this. There's so much here in what you're saying. And first of all, the Republicans need to behave. I mean, really, it's time, guys. Cut the nonsense. Quit shooting each other in the back. Now, I'm the first one to come out if I don't agree with a politician on policy, as evidenced by my non-support for Kelly Schultz as running for governor here. There was no way I was supporting the policies of Hogan continuing against we the people from COVID. Yeah. That wasn't happening. So I didn't care whether we had hung out and had a glass of wine. I don't care. However, the other piece about it is we have to align on what is our purpose, our mission, our God-given reality. And one of the things, Doug, and I really love what you're saying, and there's so much opportunity for us to bring a transformation to the party and the nation, because there's a wanting for it. There's a wanting for it.
Yes.
And transformation principles, and I'm going to give this to people because I think it's really important. I've had several people, like I said in my opening, say to me, oh, you know, it's been so hard this past year, this past 3 years. Everybody's overwhelmed and underwater. We are all hanging by a thread. So I want to give you a piece of peace. When you're in this position, the thing to do is to complete the past. And completing the past gives you a whole new opening for the future. But until you complete that past, you bring it with you. So all you're trying to do is overcome it, overcome it, overcome it. And you never will. It's a losing battle because it's like your bad shadow. And this, I want to attribute the work to Landmark Education and the work they do, landmarkworldwide.com. You can go and check them out. I study with them. I trained with them. I became a senior trainer with them. So when you're looking at transformational principles, and we are at a point right now where we must transform your state, my state, our counties, our municipalities, and our nation. So that's another show for another day, but I want people to start to look at how would you let go of the resentments that you're carrying. I know I've got them. I am super ticked about what we've had to endure over the last 3 years because it didn't have to happen. If Trump had been allowed to win his election that he won, And if January 6th was allowed to occur as an expression of our grievances, as allowed in our Constitution, we would not be here. If media told the truth in your race, Doug, or here in Maryland, or God forbid, around the country, we would not be here, but we are. Now, we have to figure out how to navigate the next few months, because we're at the brink.
Yep.
In November, we will either save our nation or we won't. It will be crystal clear. It will be crystal clear. And Democrats and independents need to wake up to the reality that's being done to them. I'm wide awake. And frankly, it keeps me awake at night. And I know it does you, Doug. You know, now we got to go to a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk more about what's going on. And I want people to remember something. Where you invest your dollars matters. We just did a show on Bitcoin. I'm so sorry I haven't gotten it up yet on the web, but I will. But I want people to think about, right now, the money situation is going to shift dramatically. It already is starting. So you got to think about where you're putting your money. The investors in Norfolk Southern, two biggest investors are Vanguard and BlackRock. Vanguard and BlackRock. I'm pulling all of my money away from those people. That's what I'm doing. I want nothing to do with them. They own massive amounts in railways. They have, in my world, a fiduciary responsibility. There is some shifts coming. They are trying to oust the CEO of Norfolk Southern. You're listening to the Jen Charlton Show. I have with me today Senator Doug Mastriano from the great state of Pennsylvania. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Jen, and I have with me today Doug Mastriano, Senator Mastriano from the great Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. I called it a state. It is a commonwealth, and we can get later some other show into the distinctions between the two. But, Doug, I want to talk about, we've kind of belabored the point on all of this. I think what we need to look at is what is the responsibility of Norfolk Southern. And I pulled railway tragedies and accidents off of the internet since 2020. You ready for this? Now, this is global, but get the magnitude of what I'm about to say. 34 pages for 2020, 21, 22, 23, and now 24. Now, this is global, but 24 pages of train derailments where people are killed, maimed, environmental attacks or issues. Many of these, by the way, I've noted, are around water systems. So now it leaches into the water. Now, I know we talked to you after you went down in the ravine and you got real sick and you got detoxed and all of that. How is your health after being exposed to that? Are you fine now?
Thank you. And thank you, Jen, for, being one of the very few to go out there and to see this yourself and to document it and to speak with the witnesses and victims that they needed to be heard. And you gave them a voice. So thank you. And we look forward to seeing you in two Wednesdays from now, the 27th at 10:30 in Darlington. So just on the Pennsylvania side of the catastrophe. But yeah, I myself and Dan Cox were out there, and we went down into Leslie Run, one of the rivers there, and, to show how the river was contaminated. And, of course, I knew this. I'm a World War I historian. I got gassed. It's like poisonous gas down there, and because the gases, the toxins are heavier than air. And I got sick, and I was only out there for a few hours. And I had to go through detox. I'm good to go. But the people that live there are not good to go. We're going to hear once again, Jen, from the, many of the same people that we heard from last year. I'm going to ask them for an update. How's your health? How's your wealth? How's your land? How's your air? How's your houses? How are your pets? And, Lonnie Miller, who actually lives about 1,000 feet away from where this happened, now she's from the Ohio side. She hopefully will be there because she's been a voice for a lot of the people in East Palestine. And they had to leave their home. Their home is up for sale. It's right next to the railroad tracks. That's That's their investment. Their money is invested. No one will touch their house. So to answer your question, I'm okay. The people there are not okay. And Norfolk Southern, their responsibility is to buy these people out. It's going to happen eventually. Please don't wait until everyone's dying from cancer or everyone's sick and just people I'm talking to are sick. Just do the right thing and buy them out. You know, we're told by Norfolk Southern that they've thrown, hundreds of millions of dollars at this cleanup, that they've invested and they're, doing their due diligence. Well, I could tell you that the witnesses that I spoke with and that my staff has spoke with, Jen, they haven't seen a penny of that. Or if they did receive, a stipend early on, the same stipend that early on Norfolk Southern said, if you take the $1,000 or whatever it was, you can't sue us kind of thing. It doesn't work that way. We need them to have options to get bought out if they don't feel safe in their own homes.
So let's take a walk down memory lane, kind of in alignment with what you just said. On February 3rd, 2023, Norfolk Southern, and I'm reading something from, it's a shareholder alert. Norfolk Southern Corporation officers and directors face shareholder investigation for potential wrongdoing related to the February 2023 East Palestine train derailment. And this is dated June 5th, 2023. So I did some homework and pulled some things. And by the way, when I did research on this in the past, this did not show up. So, it could have been a timing issue. But on February 3rd, 2023, Norfolk Southern train derailed, releasing the toxins. So on February 8th, Ohio Governor DeWine stated that Norfolk Southern, quote, created the problem. And it was their liability and ought to pay for it. And then February 21, the EPA ordered Norfolk Southern to clean up the site, and they will, they're responsible, so forth. The NTSB's preliminary report stated that the derailment was 100% preventable. Now, that's a huge statement. If that doesn't say they're 100% responsible, not only for my health, but the health of my children, if I live there, I don't know what is. And it later opened a special investigation into Norfolk Southern's safety practices because it had experienced five significant accidents since December 2021. And then March 14, 2023, Ohio Governor, Attorney General Dave Yost filed a complaint against Norfolk Southern. So they've spent, Norfolk Southern has already recognized $387 million in expenses related to these matters. But when you look at their stockholders, BlackRock and Vanguard, the numbers are in the billions. So $387 million, it's a lot of money to you and me, but it's not a lot of money to those people. The other thing I would say is that the train systems have, I don't know how they have been so poorly maintained. How come they have so many, how they hit each other? I mean, how do you run a train into a train? I mean, what is going on from your perspective on mitigating this in the future?
Through my hearings, I've heard from different people testify how these companies, including Norfolk Southern, had just cut so many corners that they reduced the number of engineers on the train so they don't have to pay people salary. They're going down the minimum manning. It's more automated. These are just some minor things they can do that compared to the almost $400 million that they claim that they've already spent with the cleanup, just these small things, adding several crew members on the train, making sure you have the right number of engineers and not just the minimum manning here. And this is not that hard. And maintaining the tracks, tracks are old. There's a lot of wear and tear. The tracks that go through Western PA and Eastern Ohio, the same track where we had a catastrophe, that's a very busy rail. You got to make sure you have, everything's maintained. When kids are going through and they pull the nails out of the tracks, it just weakens it. So you have to follow up, especially in these small, rural towns. Jen, if I compare, I looked at, Shapiro's response and DeWine's response to the East Palestine area, but I'll focus on my own governor. So, Shapiro's response, completely disengaged and jet-setting around the country and having a great time and laughing while people's lives and health are being destroyed. Meanwhile, a few months later, we had a fuel truck, you know, burst into flames underneath an underpass on I-95 north of Philly. You know, Shapiro, you know, jumps in there and immediately declare an emergency. We still have an emergency over it, rightly so. And emergency declarations go through my committee. We voted on renewing it like three times or so now. Why could we not have the same response in Western PA? Is it a demographic thing? Is it, you know, political voting demographic? Is it because it's rural and he doesn't care about them? Those aren't his voters, his supporters. You know, if you're going to be governor, you know, stop jet setting, pay attention to the state and represent all the people in the state here. You know, I'm sick and tired of these games. The right thing would be to do, you can still do it, is declare an emergency, and that will trigger a response. We have money in Pennsylvania for emergencies, and that will trigger as well a response at the federal level. But they've walked away from it. They've declared victory. They did a great job. Biden patted himself on the back, you know, in his, you know, doddering old way, and he left. And I don't know what else to do. If there's going to be lawsuits down the road here, if it stays on this, from the people suffering.
People,
you know,
will die before those lawsuits ever hit the courts.
And you know, we've seen this movie before. How many, you know, we've seen Aaron Brockovich and all these other things. Why do we have to, industries, you have, yes, I know your bottom line is dollars, but people's lives and future are more important. They just want their health back, and they don't have it right now.
So, to declare the state of emergency by the governor, what's holding him back?
Absolutely,
I know you can't get in his head and you don't want to, but I mean, what on earth?
You know, just watching this movie unfold, I get it. You might not realize as a new governor and, you know, you're so excited about all the fame and all that. And you have these fantasies dancing in your head in 2028, you're going to run for president. And this is him. And, you know, he fumbled it. You know, he was too busy running around and being praised by his buddies in Hollywood that gave him millions of dollars, you know, to run against me. But, you know, he was too busy running around, you know, jet setting at the Grammys, having a goofy time at the Super Bowl, you know, going to the big fundraiser. It doesn't matter if it's a noble cause or not. There's a problem. You're the leader of this Commonwealth. You need to be on the ground right away and not this, you know, dog and pony show and do the right thing. And he hasn't done the right thing, and it's still not too late. But they're not going to do it. Instead of doing the right thing and going back and saying, you know what, we should have done this from the get-go, they're doubling down. And Biden set the precedent. So when Biden came here a few weeks ago and did not do the right thing, I had hope, but I knew he wouldn't. The governor of Pennsylvania is not going to do it.
One of the things, there's a move right now, and this is recent. This is in February 2024. To remove the CEO of Norfolk Southern, and there's an organization or a funding place called Ancora, A-N-C-O-R-A, and a guy named Fred DeSanto. It'll be interesting to see what happens because, you know, I think that the people have to wake up, and this goes back to that transformational conversation about transforming Pennsylvania so that it's not remotely close. The people rise up and they say, oh, hell no, we're not doing this anymore. You're out, you're out, you're out, you're out. You didn't do this, you didn't do this. Our people are suffering and dying. That puts, you know, forget the cost on their lives. Setting that aside, there's the cost on the Commonwealth, the cost of delivering health care. All of this is impacted for all Pennsylvanians. How on earth do you get that message out, Doug?
You know, Galatians 6:9, grow not weary of doing it good, because in due time you'll reap the harvest if you do not faint. And so, you know, so many people worked hard for my campaign in Pennsylvania and sacrificed and donated money they didn't have and, you know, gave hundreds of hours of their time volunteering, just like Dan Cox in Maryland. And then when you see the outcome, you're like, you know, they saw the crowds I was drawing. They saw that we were, you know, Revy and I, my wife and I, were in every county a couple times in the state and the Commonwealth. My opponent, you know, campaigned from the Biden basement, you know, and just hardly made an appearance. And when he did, he drew 40, you know, or so people. Even in his home county, the night before the election, I had over 1,000 people attending. We stopped counting at 1,000, standing room only, down the street from Shapiro's house. No Shapiro signs that I saw on my way there. And I'm like, we won this. And, you know, same day in-person voting, we won by 70,000. But it was a no-excuse mail-in voting. that crushed us. You know, Democrats always overcompensate. They overcompensated with Trump in 2020, and they overcompensated with me in 2022. And instead of rallying around, you know, Cox or Mastriano, the establishment undercut us. You know, we have this big PAC in Pennsylvania claims itself to be conservative. Their guy didn't win the primary. We crushed it in the primary. Their guy they gave $12 million to in a primary, and we crushed him. He was a distant third. And that PAC, because it wasn't their guy, said, we're going to withhold $10 million from your campaign. Okay, that's fine. That's their money. And this is why we're hitting a stone wall here. And then but make things worse, Jen, is that same group of wealthy, quote-unquote, conservative leaders that started calling around, don't give money to Mastriano's campaign. And so the Democrats, when they saw the polls in September and October that had Shapiro and I tied, they doubled down. They're like, we got to help our guy. And they poured $80 million into the Democrat campaign. That's more than double the record. So the previous record was $40 million for a Democrat candidate running for governor. They had Spielberg giving $1 million. Hollywood rolled up that we got to get this guy elected. Mastriano's drawing the crowds. And, you know, my side, our side, our team did nothing to that level. And so this is, so what do? We have to win elections. We have to unify. We're told when we have a Romney or McCain, Jen, it's time to unify. The people have spoken. You know, here's another Bush. Rally around them. But they don't rally around a conservative candidate. So, you know, here's the danger.
Well, hold on a second. I want to say something, Doug, before you move on for that, because I think you're on a roll. But I want to switch to the border, because we got to talk about what's happening in the invasion. But the Uniparty, see, I think we make a mistake calling ourselves conservatives. What we are is patriots. We have conservative values, most of us, not all, but patriots, that's something we can unify on. And when you allow them to pigeonhole us, not you, but, you know, when one allows these people, even our own party, to pigeonhole us as right-wing nuts, which is crazy talk. It's their crazy talk, not our crazy talk. Their crazy talk. We have to own that. We have to shift the narrative. We've got to own it. And we can no longer allow them to desecrate our character anymore. And they have what they wanted. They've got a disaster in this country. And we may not survive it. We may not. And I don't like to be pessimistic. It's not my nature. My nature is an optimist. But we are where we are. And so, you know, these people have gotten us here. And they need to be held accountable. They need to be splashed with it. They need to have it as their own. You got us here, guys. Romney, Cheney, Liz, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All because they wanted to again, desecrate the character of Trump, because that's the go-to narrative they had in order to take control. But the electorate needs to be smarter than this.
Yes.
We cannot allow ourselves to be manipulated any further. It's disgusting.
Yeah.
And there's no way the black community in Philadelphia keeps electing corruption. Maybe the corrupt people in Philadelphia do, but I know there's a lot of good people in Philadelphia. They don't keep, and just like Baltimore, they don't keep electing corruption. It's installed. It's been a thing for decades. So particularly in those inner cities. But, you know, we have to really stand by our man. President Trump has demonstrated he is a great leader and he has the solutions that will save our country. And by the way, he's not giving in to the globalists. He's not going to allow them to destroy us. But Biden may do it before he has a chance to fix us. So what are your thoughts about this invasion? Help me out on the 24,000 Chinese coming in. We've only got about, you know, a few minutes left here. So what are your thoughts about where we are and how do we block this invasion? I would have sent, if it were President Jen Charlton, I would have sent the military down to the border and we would have held that like the Alamo. But go ahead.
the administration has decided that they want to allow 8, 9, 10, we don't even know, at millions of people across the border from around the world, unvetted, many of them criminals, raping 15-year-old girls, that one Haitian criminal. We're seeing horrific crime across the nation, especially in the city's lawlessness. And this administration is culpable or responsible. You know, Joe Biden and this administration decided to open this border up to unprecedented levels. But, you know, this is a Republican problem, too. Ronald Reagan had the opportunity to do this, to shut the border down. He did not. Both Bushes had, especially after 9/11, George Bush Jr. had the opportunity and reason. We had to shut the border down. I expected him on his press conference the day after on 12 September 2001. I expected our president to come up and say, we're mobilizing our armed forces. We're expanding 2 more divisions in the Army, 2 more aircraft carriers, 2 more wings in the Air Force. We need to shut down the border and secure our nation. And instead, he got up and he said, go shopping. You know, keep our economy booming. Keep shopping. No sacrifice, no call for patriotism, no call to rally around the flag. And this is, so it's rather, whether it's an R or D, aside from Trump, we've seen ignoring the problems, kicking it down the road, and now we have this horrific situation where we have lawlessness at our border. When I saw a recent video of about 15, 20 ethnic Chinese apprehended at the border, about half of those men were standing at parade rest. That's when you have your arms crossed behind your back. That is not a comfortable position. Those gentlemen, those people, they're soldiers from the Chinese army, and I don't know what they're doing here. They just cannot leave their country. So the Chinese government, you know, President Xi knows what he's doing, and he's sending in soldiers into our backyard. And so we need to get control of the border. So until we reelect Donald Trump, it's up to the governors, and sadly, the only governor that's doing anything is Texas. So New Mexico, Arizona, sadly, Democrat-run, California, it's lawlessness here. And, you know, had I been governor, I'd be sending our National Guard down there. We had the second-largest National Guard in the nation, the best guard in the nation, and we could really make a difference. It's just too darn bad. The Democrats, they take this serious. They want to win, and they're going to pull out all stops, regardless of their candidate. Look at Fetterman. The guy was, at the time, especially physically unfit to run for anything. The Republicans, they would have cast him out to the street. We'd rather lose elections and, you know, rather than do the right thing. But the Democrats, they always rally around their man or woman, no matter how flawed they are, and they win because they persevere. On our side here, we have weakness.
So I want to give a shout out to South Dakota. Governor Noem, she did send some of her guard down there. I think there are some other states that are trying to help Texas, but this Biden administration is literally standing in the way of Texas and other states aligning to protect our nation. How do we fight that?
Well, I mean, so we have a split government. And the House is the only one. And thanks to our inept leadership there, we are down to a one-seat majority. The Democrats are clearly buying off or incentivizing like people like Ken Buck to retire next week. So they just have to get one more Republican to quit. And they'll find some reason, some ethics charge, like they did with Santos. And Democrats, they could literally sleep with a Chinese spy, share secrets, you know, be on the Intel committee, have a Chinese girlfriend, you know, who's working for the Chinese government, and no problem, you know. But meanwhile, Republicans, you look at somebody cross-eyed, and our party will, you know, we have to reprimand this person here. You know, we're so noble. No, we're so stupid.
Well, we like to be a party of integrity, and I get that. But this is also an issue of, you know, the election process and vetting the right people and, frankly, getting the right people through the primaries so that we ensure that we win and that we have good people that we can trust in office who are going to do our bidding, not their own. But, you know, Doug, we're at the top of the show. Tell people about the event you're holding again in 2 weeks, and I'm going to go. I'll be there, and we'll be interviewing some of the residents and getting the story. I think it's really important. And one of the things I said to you in our conversation before the show is, you know, we have to be documenting what's going on in our country, because 200 years from now, we'll be looking back on this moment in time. And it'll be a blip, right? This 4 years of hell will be a blip. And it'll be this period of time that we need to have information about what occurred, because this is history right now in the making. So I invite everybody to join me. When is it and where?
Wednesday, 27 March at 10:30 at the Darlington Firehouse. They have a community center there. So two Wednesdays from now. So Wednesday, 27 March, 10:30, Darlington, Western Pennsylvania, on the Ohio border. Public is welcome. It's first come, first serve. So get there early.
All right, Doug, and thank you, Senator Mastriano. It's always a pleasure to have you with us. And let me ask you, do you have thoughts about running again for governor? Let's say President Trump gets in office. Do you think you would consider running again?
If God leads us in that direction, we'll be praying about it and we'll see. Well, I'm open to it. We'll see what God says. I don't want to run off on my own, you know. We were drafted last time in 2022 by the people. We had the largest turnout of voters for Mastriano for a Republican governor candidate since 1962 and second greatest in our state's history. Let's do this again. Let's win it. So we'll see.
Well, it's time to take back our states. And I reject the theory that Maryland is a Democrat blue state. What Maryland has is a cabal in Annapolis. I suspect something like you may have in Harrisburg. And in Annapolis, what's happening, just to remind people real fast, we have a bill right now that's going to give all the invaders access to Maryland health care. And if that bill goes through and that governor signs it, it's unconstitutional and we must fight it. Just because somebody's illegal does not give them the right to access our healthcare system and make themselves comfy cozy here. And just because it's not a fiscal note doesn't mean there aren't soft costs and some NGO isn't going to pay for it. So everybody, listen, it's great to have Senator Mastriano with us. Try and make his event on the 27th. I will be there. And let's get involved in our state capitals and take back our states. Let's get rid of the unconstitutional, illegal legislation that's starting to ruin our lives and affect the lives of those around us. God bless you. Have a great week. See you next Saturday morning right here at 9 a.m.